Chapter 32, Connection. In December, I was ready to wrap up my counseling with Jillian, feeling as though I had processed the discovery of my father, digested the new truths I had been learning, and gaining the support I needed during the pandemic. Our final task was to discuss what rejection might look like for me, though she seemed convinced that I was strong enough to handle any outcome. One day, as I was Googling for more information on Antonio and his son, Tony, my half-brother, a new picture popped up online. It contained a thoughtful article requesting services for an in-home care provider for Antonio. I had begun to realize Antonio's health was failing, yet it seemed nobody in the family knew any details about what was wrong. The picture I was getting from my vantage point was a family that was spread out into many countries that rarely communicated. Based solely on the little bit I could find out about Tony, he seemed like an empathetic and caring person. He specifically outlined what Antonio required of his caregivers. I decided I was going to call Tony on Christmas Eve. I found his cell phone number published online. I dialed Tony's phone number and heard it ring multiple times. I quickly concluded I was going to be talking to his voicemail. I wished him a Merry Christmas, explained who I was, and stated I would love to speak to him or his father. The deed was done. Maybe they would discuss this over Christmas dinner, or maybe my brother would just hit delete. A week passed with no response. I would have been shocked if I had received one, in all honesty. I was fully prepared for rejection. In fact, expected it. By now, the family had known about me for months. Maybe they were going to wait it out and hoped I would go away. Prior to calling Tony, I had spent many months using Family Search and Ancestry to build a pedigree of my extended Peruvian family. Most of them were living in Trujillo and Lima. I did find a few cousins in Virginia, but was feeling unsure about whether to reach out to them. The rumor in the family was that everybody knew about me, yet I was still feeling like I did right after discovering my father's identity, unsure if I really wanted any kind of relationship. I was much more comfortable gathering data. That was my safe zone. Also, the distance and language barrier posed a bit of a problem. In February of 2021, I decided to contact my half-first cousin, Serena, again. It appeared from my research that she still lived in Illinois. She was the closest link to my father, not only by DNA, but by location. Maybe Serena could tell me something about Antonia if they had stayed in touch. It had been almost a year since I had reached out to her through Ancestry's message system, asking if she could share any information about her Peruvian family. The adoptee rejection defense mechanism had kicked into high gear, and I assumed she couldn't help, so I never sent her any follow-up messages. After all, I was a stranger, and she was an older lady who didn't know anything about me outside of our DNA match. I decided to be brave and try again. She was 86, my mother Rachel's age, and if I knew anything about older women, it's that they love personal letters and to talk on the phone. That may sound like a generalization, but I do believe the older generation has the younger generation beat with their hospitality and love for the written word. I would email Serena again. I could not be accused of being pushy, sending two messages in a year. I wrote a friendly message and offered her my tree since she did not have one attached to her DNA. Hi, Serena. I wanted to reach out to you and say I hope you had a happy holiday. Since I last wrote, I have learned my father is Antonio Uribe of Cajamarca, Peru. You and I are half-first cousins. We share a grandfather, Antonio Uribe Diaz, but have different grandmothers. I have built a tree for the Uribe family and wondered if you would be interested in having a copy of it. I have corresponded with your daughter, Anna, at 23andMe. We matched there in 2019. I hope you have a nice evening and a happy new year. If you want to know more or chat, my phone number is below. A reply followed soon after that same evening. Hello, Lynn. Your letter was such a nice surprise. Imagine, a cousin in the U.S. where supposedly I only have a daughter and a son-in-law. I understand you've communicated with Anna already. I guess she forgot to mention it. It is after 10 here and 11 in Ohio. Too late to call. I will do that tomorrow. Is there a good time to call? Looking forward to our chat, Serena. I learned that Serena never received my first message. She assured me had she seen it, she would have responded. I was just thrilled she responded at all. I was over the moon to be corresponding with a member of the Uribe family who lived in the U.S. and spoke English. A real-life human being I was genetically related to on my paternal side. I'm so excited. I called her the next day, and Serena asked me the million-dollar question. So, what would you like to know about your father? Serena shared some interesting stories about the Uribe family, about Tonio, as she called him, and about her travels to and from Peru and landing in Illinois permanently. She generously shared family information for the tree, and I diligently took notes. I decided early on that I liked her. She was down to earth, honest, and funny. She didn't hold back and sugarcoat anything when it came to describing their Uribes. I was especially happy to learn I have a second connection to music along with the one I learned about on my maternal side. She finally remembered all the parties her father loved to throw, which included Lewis playing the guitar. I shared with Serena the story Uncle Clay shared with me and how more than one person referred to Antonio as Julio. As if this was no big mystery to her, Serena stated that anyone who speaks Spanish is referred to as a Julio, at least around these parts. Stunned but amused, I laughed. As we were saying our goodbyes, Serena invited me to visit her in Illinois, and I promised to email her the tree for the Uribe family. The next day, she sent me a text asking me if I built that tree myself. I smiled and replied, yes, with the help of my search team. Each time I speak with Serena, I learn something new. This is not surprising. Like most of the Uribe, she is a retired educator. What a neat lady. I was thrilled to be able to meet her in person during my last trip to the Chicago area.